If you would, just open up your Bibles. We're going to be in the book of Psalms. We'll be in the 35th chapter as we continue on our message on holding on to happiness. I kind of went back in time just a little bit as I was working on this study. How many of you, raise your hands, how many of you remember your first schoolyard fight? Most of you? A lot of the ladies too. Yeah. I remember my first fight too, and it wasn't, it was something like you had to do that. You know, it was kind of that. You know the story. Meet me after school. We're gonna be over in the field or behind the skating rink or at the grocery store, the parking lot, whatever it was. And you would show up there, and there's this large crowd of people, teenagers around and everything. And of course, you had to go right in the middle of them. And you had to go. I mean, you couldn't. You'd be a coward if you didn't show up. So you had to show up there. And so I'm not saying that my first fight, I remember, I'm not saying that I lost the fight. But I just remember that she got in the first punch. And it was just after that, I don't remember a whole lot after that. But, I didn't even want to be there. I didn't even want to be there at the whole thing. I had no reason to be fighting with anybody. I didn't want to do that. And it was going to be a lose-lose situation. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, I'm sure everybody, has you ever been in a battle like that where it's just like, I'm going to lose, darn if I do, darn if I don't. I'm going to lose in this anyway. It's kind of like the David and Goliath battle. It was just like, how you got no business going up against these battles sometimes that we're fighting, and really just no business in doing that. It's kind of like if you was going to court and you didn't have a lawyer. It's just not a wise thing to do, Or you have a major illness and you decide, well, I'm not going to worry about the doctors or the surgeons. I'm just going to take care of this thing on my own. You really need to have somebody that knows what's going on, or financial problem that's going on in your life. You really should have somebody, a financial advisor, somebody to walk you through, somebody that knows what's going on, somebody that's been in one of those battles before, that they can kind of guide you in this. What you need, listen to this, what you really need, and the Bible talks about, is an advocate. You need somebody on your side, somebody that's looking out for you, somebody that's a professional, somebody that knows what's going on, that they understand the issues that you're getting ready to go up against, that has the ability, more than just understands and knows, more than a friend that's just like, come on, buddy, we'll walk through this together, more than that, you need somebody that has the ability, you need somebody that has the knowledge, that knows how to navigate these waters, you need somebody that has the strength, David, small as he is, but big, over Goliath, that has the strength to go up against these enemies that you have coming into your life. And so just by another show of hands, how many, just by saying that, how many would you agree with that statement? You need to have somebody with you to help you out that knows what's going on. So why in the world then? Let me just touch the heart just a little bit. Why in the world are we so committed to fighting our spiritual battles on our own? Everything else, we'll get lawyers, we'll get all kinds of stuff. I'm going to sue, I'm going to do all of these things. But we have spiritual battles and we think, I can take care of this. I'll do this on my own. And the first thing we should just know, when we think about it, you can't even see the enemy. And I know that a lot of times we think about it, it's like you think the battle is really that guy that cut you off on the way to church this morning. He cut in front of me, that guy. You think that that's who the battle is. You think the battle's the cashier. When you end up there and you give them your debit card and they said, it's been denied. Ooh, I'm so mad at that person. We think that's the enemy. That's who's doing it, doing us bad, you might even think it's that somebody that maybe has a different spiritual belief than you, or maybe somebody that has a different political belief than you. And you think, ooh, they're the enemy. They don't think the same way that I do, because they're indifferent than what we think. Well, here's what the Bible says, Ephesians 6:12, and you don't need to turn there. I'll tell you all about Ephesians 6:10. You probably know that. Put on the full armor of God. It's what you'll be doing tomorrow morning, Monday morning, when you get ready to go to work. It's better to get out there and put on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6:12 tells us why we should do that. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers against the authorities, against, listen to this, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. And then they just break it down and tell it just how it is. It says it's against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. That's our battle. That's what we're up against. That's what we're going up against right now. Spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So what in the world are we doing trying to fight battles like that? Surely we don't have the strength. We understand and know that. But we don't even have the knowledge. We don't have the ability. Why are we doing fighting battles like that? We're not equipped to fight those battles. And if we want, you know, as we're going through this series and it's holding on to happiness, you know, if we want to experience love in our life, if we want to experience peace and joy in our life, if we want to express happiness to our families and friends and those around us, if we want to experience happiness from our family and friends and those around us, we need to stop fighting these fights in our own power. I can handle this. Especially guys, we're like, I'm not going to be weak, you know, I can handle this. I'm a warrior. Well, you're a warrior and you're destined to lose. You're going up against the spiritual battle. So what we need to understand today, and that's what I want to talk about, that's what I want us to wrap around our minds today, is we need to understand that the battle belongs to the Lord. Whatever it is. You know, and some of us are in little bitty battles. It's still the Lord's, because it could end up a full-fledged war. Some of us are in great big, some are in battles for their lives. Still. It belongs to the Lord. And we need to understand that. So last week we talked about this in the Bible. It says the Lord favors the righteous. Those that do the right thing. Those that follow, you know, do the best we can, follow God's commandments in our life. The Lord favors those. And it says the Lord hears the righteous. He's attentive to your cry. That means he's kind of, you know, he's listening out. It's like, Jesus has got you and you're in this. You're one of his. And so he's attentive. He knows your voice. How many of you moms in here, and you don't need to raise your hand, but how many of your moms here could walk into a room of 20 screaming toddlers and you say, that one's mine? You can hear it. You know it. You know what child is yours. It's the same thing with the Lord. He hears you when you cry out. He hears you. And so I want you to know that he favors the righteous. He hears the righteous. And also last week we learned that the Lord delivers the righteous. And so this week what I want you to understand is the Lord fights for the righteous. That he fights for us. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can come up against that? I mean, I say, God is for us. And so it's like, who can be, you know, we're getting in all these battles and we're trying to do it on our own. And then finally we cry out to the Lord, help me. And the enemy's got you down and he's got you bent backwards. And you're just not sure what you're going to do. And you cry out, help me, Lord. And so it's good. It makes me feel good. It makes me happy to know that the Lord has got my back. He actually should have my front. That's where I should have him, in front of me. But it makes me happy just knowing that. It should make you happy too. That whatever you're going through, is you're just knowing that. You know, knowing that, you know, every morning you don't have to go out into the world and get your butt kicked every morning. You don't have to do that because the Lord has your back. He hears you. He's attentive to you. He's going to deliver you out of whatever's going on. So watch how this works. Let's go to Psalm 35. We're going to start in verse 1. And watch how this psalmist, he's writing, could be a song, could be a poem, could be something he's writing in his journal or whatever it might be. Verse 1, and he says, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight with me. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise for my help. It says, draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers and say to my soul, I am your salvation. So the first thing that we see in this when we go through there and look at this, the psalmist, that's what he's doing, is we need to ask God to fight our battles for us. We need to go in there and say, God, I need you to fight this battle for me. I'm not strong enough. I'm too weak to be able to do it. I don't have the ability to do it. I don't understand what's going on here. I need you to fight my battles for me. And so the psalmist, what he's doing, he's petitioning the Lord. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, it says, go with prayers and petitions before the Lord. Prayers is like, oh, Lord, you're awesome, you're great, and all this. And the petition is, here's what I think I need in my life. And so here's what you can do. You can go and petition the Lord and say, Lord, here's what I think. I have these enemies coming against me. Here's what I think I need in my life. And normally we'll say we need more money and more time or stuff like that, but the Lord will work it out. You know, say, here's what I think I need in my life. And say, deliver me from my enemies. So often we'll give him a grocery list and say, and here's what you need to do. But we should say, deliver me, Lord. Just deliver me from my enemies. They're coming on me. There's these people, and he's riding in there, and he's upset about it and everything. And he's saying, you know, there's these people that are trying to kill me. Deliver me for those people. He said, there's these people that want to destroy me and everything around me. He says, deliver me. He said, there's these people out here that hate me, that hate what I'm all about. He says, deliver me. And they hate him for no reason. They're just like, they don't want a castle. They don't want his land. They don't want all this stuff. They hate him for no reason. And so it's key that we know. Here's the thing about this right here. This petitioner, this guy that's crying out, this weak guy that knows he doesn't have enough on the ball, that he's not going to be able to do it on his own. It's King David. He's the most powerful man right now in Israel. He's the most powerful man in all of Israel right now. He has access to these soldiers, to these military armies, to thousands of men that he has access to them. And they're ready to march on. They're ready to, you know, whatever he tells them to do, they're going to do. You know, at his command, go out. I want you to fight this battle for me, and I want you to do this. And they'll do it, and they'll die for him, and they're ready to do this. But he understands this is it's not his battle. It's a spiritual thing that's going on. It's not, they're not trying to take his land or anything like that. There's a that may be what's on the outside of it, but that's really not what's going on. There's a spiritual battle here. And he can't win that. He knows that. He understands that. It's a spiritual battle, can only be fought in the spiritual realm. And we look at it and we think of it like it's in heaven or it's in hell or somewhere like that. Well, this spiritual realm is like this far from us. It just takes us just that long to get there. Remember Ephesians said, what we're fighting against, everything that we're fighting against is against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. The battle's here, but it's happening in heavenly places right now. So David's prayer, it kind of begins here, and he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, I want you to be my champion. I want you to, you know, because David's stronger than anybody in the country right now with him and his army and everything. But he says, I want you to be my champion. I want you to go forward for me. I want you to be my advocate. I want you to go out before me. Before I go out there, take care of this. And even though David, you know, and his army, maybe they're going to be out on the field. Maybe they're going to go fight a battle. Maybe they're going to do this. But it's really a spiritual battle all in all. And he says, I need you to go for me. I need you to go out there. I need you to be my champion to help me win this battle. He says, take hold of the shield and buckler. We all know what a shield is. And that's exactly what they had. They had these shields, some metal, some leather and everything. But they had this shield. But this buckler is just would have been like a knife. It wouldn't have been a sword, but it would have been like a knife or a hook or something like that. But what it was a weapon. So he's going out to have battle. We've got a shield and he's got a sword. It's going to be a hand-to-hand battle. It's going to be in close to the enemy. And he said, Lord, you take care of that. You do this. He needs strength from the Lord. I mean, he'll supply himself and he'll step out in battle, but he needs strength from the Lord. He says, I'm going to get my shield and I want you to guide it. When the enemy comes against me, I want you to move it around and guide that thing for me. Verse 3, it says, draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers, those that are after me, those that are chasing me down. He said, guide that. You know, it's my weapons and everything, but he says, you know, it's my body, but I want you to guide these things for me. I want you to help me to make strong, good decisions. I want you to show me where I need to go and when I need to fight and when I need to run. I want you to show me these things, empower me to be able to do these things. So remember last week we talked about, it says that the Lord, he hears the cries of the righteous. Those that are following God, those that are doing what God's commandments command us to do, he hears us. He hears our voice. He's willing to fight for us. He's ready to fight for us. In fact, he wants to go into battle for you. He doesn't want you to lose. God is for you, so he wants you to go into battle for you. Many years ago, I'll tell you this story, and I've shared it with a few of you, but many years ago when we come to this church, we were required from the previous church owner, we had to take over their loan and put the loan in our name. And so there was probably 12 of us or something at that time. Not a very big church. And so we went to the bank and said, we'd like to take over this loan, and we need to borrow $250,000. She said, well, okay, let's talk about it. She said, how many members do you have? How many's on the register? And I said, well, we don't have membership. We just, you know, we love you, and whoever comes, they're our members. And if you don't come, you know, you still are members, and we still love you. She said, oh, well, she said, like on your monthly or yearly pledges, you know, can you show us some evidence of what you have on that? And we said, well, we don't do pledges either. We're trusting in the Lord. He's going to take care of us. You know, this will be just fine. She's like, she's getting a little frustrated. She said, finally, she said, you know, when you pass the collection plate, what's the average? I said, well, we don't pass the collection plate. And she's kind of like, all righty then. And you want me to go before the bank board members and ask to borrow $250,000? She said, you know, I think we're fighting an uphill battle. And so what we told her at this time, and these were the same words that we told her, we said, we ask her to be our champion. That she would go into that boardroom. And that she would pray. And she was a believer. And we asked that she would pray about that. And that she would go in that boardroom. And that she would ask them to do that. And I don't know if she prayed or not. She didn't encourage us, that's for darn sure. But I guarantee you, the people in this church were sure praying. And we were crying out to the Lord. And the loan was approved. She just come in, you know, she met with us later and she said, I don't know what's going on, but we'll put everything, yeah, it's yours now. And we were amazed at that. So we got to ask God to fight our battles. We couldn't have done that. We didn't have any credit rating. We didn't have any church experience. We didn't have any of those things. But God was for us. So who could be against us? So then he goes on in verse 4 and it says, let them be put to shame and dishonor who seek after my life. He says, let them be turned back and disappointed who devise evil against me. Let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. He said, let their way be dark and slippery, and the angel of the Lord pursuing them. Ask God to fight your battles. Just ask him, say, hey, fight. I can't do this. Ask God to fight your battles. And number two, we need to understand this, is you need spiritual powers to fight spiritual battles. There's nothing we have that we can fight a spiritual battle except for the Lord on our side. You need spiritual powers to fight spiritual battles. His prayer in there is that the angel of the Lord would drive them away. The angel of the Lord is always an angel, is a messenger. Somebody has a message from the Lord. And so that the angel of the Lord would drive them away. We read in Psalm 34, verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, meaning believers, and he delivers them. So once again, we go back to last week and said, you know, when you cry out, what happens? If you're a believer, the Lord hears you. And isn't that nice? Doesn't it feel good to know that we can say, and the angel of the Lord encamps around us? It's like he's bringing us in, like we're a sheep, you know, and just like the shepherds, and they bring us in, and just like, I'm gonna surround you guys. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to put a fence around you. It's like this hedge of protection, because he favors those that he loves. So it's like this protection that he's got around us. Come on, get in closer. I'm going to take care of you here. So when you're faced with these battles like this, these spiritual attacks and everything, you can take assurance in this, is that the angel of the Lord, he's surrounding you. And I know maybe we can't see it, or maybe you don't feel it or anything, but the Bible says he is. The Bible says they are, so they're taking care of us. Not to remove us from battle, because that is, I mean, that's normally what we would pray for. Lord, get me out of here. Place is on fire. I don't want anything to do with this place. Get me out of here. And he says, what I'll do is I'll take care of you. I'm going to keep you from getting burned up while you're in the furnace. I'll keep my arms around you. I'll have this hedge of protection around you. I'm not going to, he said, I'm not going to remove you from the battle. He says, I'm going to do the battling for you. And I know some people are always saying, you know, well, Pastor Brian, you don't know my situation. I mean, I know all these other guys, you know, maybe they have problems with the utility bills and maybe have their problems with their girlfriend or boyfriend or spouse or whatever it might be. But I've got real problems. David has got like the whole world coming up against him. And they want to kill him. And he says in verse 5, he said, let them be like chaff. You know what chaff is? It's like the stuff that's left off of wheat. They throw it up in the air and it's just light and it's flaky and it just kind of blows away. That's what he's saying. He said, let them be blown away just before the wind. Just scatter them away. And that's how easy it is for the Lord. He said, just scatter them away. I mean, listen, you know, the purpose of God's angels are to further God's plans among humanity, among us. They're here to battle for us. So stop fighting battles on your own. Stop fighting battles that you can't win on your own. You have no hope of winning. It's fighting these spiritual battles. And I know some days it seems like, you know, you wake up in the morning and it's just like, man, the whole world's just against me. You know, you get up and the car's on empty and you got a flat tire anyway and there's snow coming up and the wind's blowing and the clouds are coming in and it just looks bad and it's going to be a bad day. And you just feel like, you know, the whole world's against me. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober-minded, be watchful. He says, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's what he wants. He wants to devour you, and he will. And maybe it won't be like a lion and he'll attack you and you'll see it coming and everything, nothing like that, but he'll devour you with addictions. He'll devour you with pride. Ain't nothing going to happen to me. He'll devour you with financial problems. He'll devour you with self-centeredness. He'll devour you with deception. He'll devour you with doubt. He's good at that. He's your adversary. That's who you're battling up against. There's an old story that Satan and his demons are all sitting around. They're talking to each other, you know, and they're trying to figure out, you know, how are we going to deceive these humans? Because that's his best thing, is to put doubt in your mind. Remember in the Garden of Eden? And he asked, did God really say that? And the first thing he does is put doubt in your mind. So they're all saying, he said, how do we deceive these humans? You know, one of the demons says, well, just tell them that there's no heaven. He said, no, that's not going to work. You know, he said, they read the Bible, they understand it, they really, you know, they believe it happened. The other demon, he comes up and he says, you know, just tell them there's no hell. Tell them there's no hell and they won't need to worry about it and everything. And he's like, I just don't know if I can do it. I don't know if they're going to buy anything that. And so Satan says, I know what I'll tell him. He says, I'll tell him there's no hurry. Just go on with your life. We'll get all that stuff later. There's no hurry into anything. He seeks to destroy you. And know this, that understand this, you know. Your spiritual enemy, he's not out there throwing sticks and stickers, and, you know, so that it would trip you up or anything. He wants to destroy you. He hates you. He hates your grandchildren. He hates your little babies that you cuddle. And he wants to see death to everybody. And you need spiritual powers in order to defeat him. You can't stand up against him. And the third thing that I want you to know and understand today is trials and tribulations, they're inevitable. Stuff's going to happen. Jesus is the first one that said that. This is going to happen. Stuff is going to happen in your life. Trials and tribulations, they're inevitable. Verse 7 says this. It says, for without cause, they hid their net for me. Without cause, they dug a pit for my life. It says, let destruction come upon him when he does not know it. And let that net that he hid ensnare him. And let him and him fall into it to his destruction. And what really grabbed me in this is the twice that David writes in there and he says, without cause. I mean, how many times have we said that in our life? I didn't even do anything. Someone was mad at me. I didn't even do that. He says, without cause. There were no, he wasn't provoked or anything. These people want to kill him for no reason at all. They're setting traps for him. They're hoping to grab him, just like a wild animal. They just want him to fall down the trap. They want to catch him, and they want to kill him. He says in Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. So your adversary, the devil, he's out there. He's planning. He's doing all of these things. He's scheming. How can I get to him? How can I trip him up? How can I hurt them? So sometimes when you go out, you know, you feel like the world is against you. Sometimes the world is against you. Sometimes that's part of his scheme, is to trip you up. His plan for you is destruction. Not just a bad day. Not just to break up a relationship. It's destruction. It's ultimately death. Eternal death. He will only be happy when you finally have eternal death. So when you run into them fiery trials, understand that, get that, know that, that you're up against a spiritual battle then. And I know sometimes it's our fault. Sometimes we make bad choices in our life and we suffer the consequences. That's just it. But other times, we live in this world, and this world has been fractured by sin. It's broken, the world that we live in. You know what? Diseases happen because of environmental things. There's no evilness to it. There's just diseases that happen. Illness happens because of infections that are going around. It may or may not be. I don't think there's a spiritual significance to it. Hunger happens because of just overcrowding. And we all fall prey to that. Stuff just happens. It's a difficult world. But David's prayer in there, he says, trap his enemies. That what they're putting up against him, that would actually be their downfall. That it would actually happen to them. And we read about it on the news every day when we see something and somebody's doing evil or somebody's doing bad and then something bad happens to them. They get caught. They get hurt. We call it karma. We call it a lot of things. But something bad happens then. Evil overcomes evil. And it always ends in death. And so lastly, understand this. Praise the Lord with happiness. We have plenty of reason to be happy. We have plenty of reason to have joy in our life. Praise the Lord with happiness. David said in verse 9, he says, then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation. And all of my bones will say, O Lord, who is like you? Delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him, the poor and the needy from him who robs him. And so there's so much in that, this verse right here, talking about, the bones, delivering him from the poor and everything, the strength and the weakness and people that's trying to rob us and take what we have. But what I want you to do, I want you to underline probably in my mind today, the most important word in that whole verse is then. Because he's saying then. He's saying this is after the fact. I know it's going to be a difficult time, and I know we're going to go through some troubles, and I know there's going to be issues in our lives, and I understand all of that. But David says then. Then after the battle is won. Then after victory is proclaimed. And you can start praising him now, but it's giving you hope that there is going to be an end. There is going to be victory. There is going to be a battle. And the enemy is going to be defeated in that. And so David says, then praise his name. Because he's going to have victory over it. David says, my soul's going to rejoice. What he's talking about like his inner being. It's like, you know, deep down within. He says, even my bones are going to, they're going to cry out with praise. With every bit of him, he's going to praise the Lord. Because he knows this. He has this in his heart. That's why he has happiness in his life, because he knows through all of this trials, through all of this turmoil, for everything that's going on, that there's going to be victory in the Lord. And he knows that in his very most inner being. So here's what I would like as we close up and get ready to wrap this up. Here's what I wish that we could take home today. Is that you would understand in this that there's going to be difficult times. There's going to be challenging times. There's going to be things that you don't get, things that you don't understand, things that weren't your fault. And we just need to understand this. It's not your fight. It really isn't your fight. It's not your battle. I mean, think about this. Let's look at this whole picture. David, he's the king of all of Israel right now. I mean, the soldiers are standing there. They're ready to go to battle. They're prepared to die for him. But David understands one thing in this whole mess that's going on in his life. He understands this, and I'm going to read this. You don't need to turn there. 2 Chronicles 20:15. It's many places in the Bible, and he says, listen, all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, he says, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, this stuff that's happening right now. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be dismayed. Don't be like we're never going to get out of this. He says, don't be dismayed at this great horde, because he says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle, you know, what's going on in the world today and the political system today and the viral system today and just in everything that's going on in the financial system today, it's not our battle. I mean, we want to pray about it and we want to make smart decisions and we do all that, but it's not our battle. It's not what we can do on our own. We need to enlist the Lord's help. It's his battle. But this battle that's going on earth right now, this spiritual battle that's going on behind the scenes that we don't see, like we feel like we know anything about, this fight, it's a fight between God and God in heaven and Satan, who will ultimately be in hell. That's what battle's going on. And it's not like we're caught in the middle because we happen to be on earth. It's not just because we just happen to get right here and we're caught up in it. The battle is over you. That's what God is fighting about. The battle is for you and your soul. Not the earth and the sea and the fish and everything that he created, and if he wants, he'll create another one. Not that. The battle's for you. That's what God's fighting for. That's why he sent his son, to help fight this battle, to win this battle, to overcome this battle. It's because he loves you that much. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. We come before you this morning and just thank you for your word that you've given us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the battles that you've fought for us, even without our understanding and knowing. But we thank you, Lord, most of all for the biggest sacrifice of battle, which was your son, that you've given in us as payment for sin in our lives. We pray, Lord, as we go out of here today, that we praise your name, that we sing your songs, that we have joy in our heart, Lord, and that we would take it out into the world and share it with those around us. And in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. God bless.